Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome, welcome. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This is the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. There's Colfax on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And how you doing, man? You're looking good. You're looking good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
You're wearing new shirts.
Yeah.
You're wearing a lot of new shirts.
I got a whole
lately.
New wardrobe.
It's weird when you get to working with people. You recognize when they have new clothes. Like, I don't even recognize when my wife has a new shirt. I know when you get a new shirt.
Well, thank you. I got a bunch of new shirts for my birthday a couple weeks ago.
They look comfortable.
Yeah.
Keep you warm. And,
A
little bit of class. You're mixing it up there.
No more t-shirts for me, man.
No. I still wear polo t-shirts in the winter. My wife's like, that's why you're cold all the time.
Yeah.
Sleeves are constricting.
Got to get the flannel, man.
You got to. Colfax, you know the rule, though.
What's that?
Sun's out, guns out all the time. Even in the winter.
Even in the winter?
I'd wear sleeveless if it was more professional here, but I feel like I would set a bad example for everybody. But,
yeah. I don't know. New trend, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a new trend. Like those, but make it look nice, like those classy tuxedo shirts, but just cut the sleeves off?
Exactly.
I think that'd be all right. It'd be kind of cool.
All right.
Well,
I'm not opposed.
All right, my deep thoughts from a wandering mind is out. Colfax might be a little controversial. I'm saying Michael Porter Jr. needs to be the second star for the Nuggets, not Jamal Murray. I've been thinking about it a lot. And again, I'm at that point. I'm not saying goodbye to Jamal. I mean, you're going to be paying him a lot of money to be an average player. But I think he's probably closer to the Will Barton, Gary Harris territory at this stage. He's going to be a big piece to what you do, but is he going to dictate how far you go overall? I mean, I just think that it's at this point, I'm getting a lot of people resharing that they don't like it. Okay, how many 30-point games did Jamal Murray have when he was first starting out in his career, in his first couple of years? I think he had a handful. Michael Porter Jr. had a 30-point game his last game. We haven't seen him since 1937, but I think he's going to go on this road trip. We're going to talk to Chris Dempsey coming up on the program a little bit later on. I'm going to ask that question. Is MPJ going to play? When's he going to play? It's been almost a month. So you got to have him. We're all in this waiting and see mode still with MPJ, but this is what you're getting with Jamal. This is it. I thought about it a lot, Colfax, and I mean, we're in year five. Oh, you guys are saying Drew Locke's done in football. It's not, he hasn't even played two full seasons, and I'm not actually disagreeing with that right now, but let's call it what it is. This is his fifth season, and you're still talking about a point guard that averages 19 points per game. All right. How many assists are you bringing me? Oh, four? As a point guard? It's like I told you, if Joker's averaging 17, 18 points a game, which he's averaging 25, but if he's averaging 18, 17, I can live with that if he's averaging 7-plus assists and 7-plus rebounds a night. Murray's not there. What are the other stats you're bringing me? And I know he has some health issues. There's that elbow, and I don't know if it's right, but bottom line is he's still playing 34 minutes a game. So when do we say this is who he is? I mean, the bubble brought him fame, but he was still inconsistent. The only bad thing is the highs aren't coming in now. So I think it's MPJ. I'm not saying that you can't coexist. I mean, when I say this kind of stuff, people just assume I say trade Murray, clear the way for MPJ. I'm just saying when you're sitting on the bench and you're designing big time plays and more, who's getting the ball, where you're going, what looks you're getting. Once MPJ gets rolling again, the looks need to start going there. You need another star. Joker cannot win a title on his own. They have, good players surrounding them. No question. There's fun players to watch. Jamichael Green is, really fun to watch as far as rebounds go. Will Barton is inconsistent, but when he's rolling, he's rolling. Monte Morris is really good off the bench, averaging 11. And I'm not saying you can't, you don't have room for three stars, but when you're Mike Malone and you're designing plays and you're figuring out out-of-bounds plays and last-second shots, if it's not going to be Joker, I think it's going to have to be Porter. I just wish we could get on with the damn thing. When will we see it? I want to see this thing roll. He's averaging, played four games, Colfax. Porter played four games. I still feel like the season hasn't really started for him. But in four games, averaging 19.5 points per game. Oh, does he have another stat? Yeah, seven boards per game. Where is Jamal Murray's other stat? That's what I'm asking. If you're going to be averaging 19, okay, I live with that, but I need another stat from you. Four assists and 3.5 rebounds from your starting point guard? Listen, there are point guards that are slashers, that aren't, you know, the best passers. But what are they doing? They're scoring 25. So, and right now, Joker's carrying it, man. Look at that. 25 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 10 assists per game, 2 steals per game. So, he's got the other stats, and he's got the points. I know I sound like a broken record on this, but we need to get Porter back in the mix, and that's when, his defense is bad. There's no excuses for that. If he can just become, like, average or below average at defense, even a little bit below average, he's going to be a lethal basketball player. His scoring is unreal. He has great rebounding ability, too. And it's not just his size. It's his ability to get in there. So we have that available for you at theholeshow.com. I put together my deep thoughts from a wandering mind. Last week's was whatever happened to kicking and screaming about John Elway. So go check it out, theholeshow.com. Michael Porter Jr., not Jamal Murray, needs to be the second star for the Nuggets. Colfax, let's get to the big story of the day. Big story of the day presented by FFS Bank. Banking made simple. Memphis Grizzlies' next three games postponed as NBA adjusts handling of COVID-19 scenarios, sources say. Adrian Wojnarowski put this up at ESPN this morning. They got the three consecutive Memphis Grizzlies games are going to be postponed, mark an evolution in how the league's handling of COVID-19 scenarios within teams, essentially parking a team and taking them out of circulation. And there's some interesting wording when we're in the COVID world. It's not just, you can't just say Memphis postponed three games. It's like parking a team and taking them out of circulation once a roster has been exposed to the virus. You've noticed that, though. Like, everything has, like, the color coding stuff going on. There's always, like, the phases and safer at home. Like, there's all these little phrases that we've all been programmed. There's another one. Taking the team out of circulation once a roster has been exposed. Sounds so much worse. Colfax, I'm taking you out of circulation for the next 3 weeks. What does that mean? Well, you just get paid vacation. You're just going to stay home. Yeah. Oh, so I thought you were, like, taking me out. The league has allowed teams to isolate players and silent others in contact tracing believed to have been close to proximity infected individuals, yet still allowed teams to proceed with games if they had 8 eligible players. I hear Mark Knutson, his report, you know, that his Knutson's corner talking about doing the bubble again. Is that economical? I mean, can you do that? I don't know. I know the NBA makes bank, but will players do that? Like, it's easy for us on the outside, and I love Mark, but it's easy for us on the outside to say, lock him up in a bubble for 5 months. I can tell you right now, if I was a pro ball player, I'm a family man, Colfax. I like being around my family. I like coming to work. I like going home to my family. And they were burnt. Don't you think they were a little burnt out toward the end of that thing?
All of them.
And you're going to lock them up? You're going to lock them up again and not let them see their families? It's like not healthy, man. I mean, not seeing their friends, families, whatever. So, I don't see that happening again. Maybe they do it for the playoffs. But, you know, and then even then, there's a means to an end there. You're only, most teams going for 2 weeks and then another 2 weeks and then another 2 weeks and then you're done. But you're only, what, 14 games in. When's the season going to end? May? June-ish? So, I mean, you're not going to, that's, you know, February, March, April, May. You're not going to do that again. So, interesting stuff coming up. They postponed 4 consecutive games for Memphis, including games Wednesday and Friday in Portland and games Sunday and Monday in Sacramento. So far, the league has postponed 20 games this season. I don't think the Nuggets have had any postponed games yet, have they? I don't think so. Maybe Murray's season is attached somehow to Kentucky's 4-9 start. Yeah, he's always got Kentucky there. That's always going to be with him. He's won with the school still. And listen, I'm not knocking Jamal. Everybody reads that and they just instantly go to, you're giving up. I'm saying the obvious thing here. He's inconsistent. I mean, he's better than Will Barton, but he's inconsistent. He had 5 points the other night after 30. I mean, he didn't play. And even in that 30-point game, 24 of those came in the first half. And like I said, I'm not going to complain about 30 points. You get it where you get it, but aren't superstars supposed to be there in the fourth period, man? Aren't they supposed to be the guys you're relying on, giving them the basketball? So I'm curious to see if Michael Porter Jr. is coming back and what that looks like. Lieutenant Spangle, Nuggets didn't focus on the bench enough, and that's what's pulled the Nuggets through in games last year. Well, the bench is getting better, I'll say that. You know, this bench is getting a little bit better. The other, I mean, you're seeing Facu Campazzo. I don't know how good he's going to be ultimately, but his role is to be on the floor, aggressive defense, and to be a great passer, move the ball around. Monte Morris is playing like really well. P.J. Dozier is certainly getting his moments. And then I think when Porter comes back, you put Barton back on the bench. And I know I've changed my mind on this. I thought at the beginning of the season you should start Barton, let Porter work that offense with the second group. But now I'm ready to see what he's made of. Just like with Drew Locke this last season, I want to see what this guy really can bring to the table. He's 22 years old. He's on this is his second season. He didn't play a lot last year, but he's a young player that is explosive on the offensive side of the basketball. But I don't know. I think he's going to play tomorrow night. That's what I hope to find out. It's been the hardest thing to find out, man. We find out that that President Trump leaves a note on the desk for President Biden, and yet we can't find out if Michael Porter Jr. is going to play a basketball game tomorrow. I like Noco Nell's poll quarter. What do you think that note said? Hugs and kisses. Good luck, buddy. Probably something heartfelt like that. You know, I would imagine. I would imagine exactly that. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. All right, our Power to Play Sports poll question. I think you already answered this one, Colfax, but I wanted to ask the Hooligans. Would you trade 3 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson? And you said?
Heck yeah.
Going for it, man. Going all in. We talked a little bit about George Payton saying, you know, in Minnesota, we went to the playoffs like, you know, half the time I was there. We didn't necessarily have a franchise quarterback. I asked it yesterday, but I'm still thinking about it. Like, is he saying that that's okay? If in 14 years, let's say that George Payton is here with the Broncos for 14 years, they go to the playoffs half those times, and they win what, 3 games? I think Minnesota only won like 3 games in that stretch. In 14 seasons, and I say they go to the playoffs 6 times and they win 3 games, are you happy with that as a Broncos fan? You're used to John Elway and Peyton Manning and greatness. You have 3 Super Bowls. Not a lot of teams have 3 Super Bowls. You're going to walk away and go, that was successful.
Are most teams happy with that? That don't have Super Bowls? Or less Super Bowls?
Some are happy with that.
Okay.
I would say the Cleveland Browns would be happy with that. I would say the Houston Texans would be happy with that. The Patriots, not happy with that.
No.
No more Tom Brady. They're not happy with that. The Steelers, not really happy with that. I mean, John Elway brought you to 2 Super Bowls. So I would imagine the next 6 seasons, he's got 6 years, right? What are your expectations? In 6 seasons, Elway pulled no punches, man. He always would say it's about winning a championship. So in 6 seasons, are your expectations to go to the playoffs twice, 3 times? You remember? Yeah, 3 times.
3 times.
And win maybe 2 games?
Yeah.
Is that what we've become? Those are our expectations.
But then build off of that, too. Don't let that be the peak. Keep building would be the expectation.
Don't you need a Deshaun Watson, though, to do that?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're looking right now. And you can say the history shows, oh, other teams can do it. Yeah, but most of the time, look who's playing this weekend. Most of the time, it's a franchise quarterback that's playing. So, yes. The answer is yes. Now, I didn't add these others in because, again, this is from what executives are saying, that Watson's worth at least 3 first-round picks in a trade, says NFL executives. 3. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler talked to several executives in the NFL and evaluators around the league, and three first-rounders was a common theme in conversation. And we've heard that with everybody, reporters, executives, at least three, so you know it's going to be more than that, because every team's going to pony up for three, it sounds like, anybody that needs a quarterback. So then what piece can you offer after that? And for Denver, it's going to be, I mean, what are your best assets? It's not Melvin Gordon. It's not Philip Lindsay. It's not Drew Locke. On offense, it's Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. Maybe Noah Fant because he's young. On defense, well, you don't have Justin Simmons signed yet. But that's your only, I mean, Kareem Jackson? I mean, they're not a lot of big names. Bradley Chubb is going to be a big name on there. So again, he's young. Maybe the next question should be, who would you rather throw in that deal if you had to throw one, Bradley Chubb or Cortland Sutton? At first I say Bradley Chubb, I'd throw in the deal, but I'd say Cortland Sutton because you're so deep at wide receiver. But you know, remember what Sutton did last year. He gets hurt and misses the season, but he was really good last season. Broncos are going to go on that cheap option and going to sign Dwayne Haskins. At that point, you're better off just staying with Drew Locke. I had one texter already say, stay with Drew Locke. Give him another year. Josh Allen wasn't exactly great his first year, but he was his second year. And he played his first year. He was good enough to play his first year. Drew Locke is going into his third year. Brady, he didn't play a full season his rookie season because he wasn't good enough to beat out the competition. He wasn't good enough to beat Joe Flacco in training camp the year before that. And that's as a rookie. It's understandable. But Josh Allen was. He was good enough to beat out his competition. 22 minutes after the hour, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, sponsor of this program. A couple of models they go by. Services as unique as life. Live well, but plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their fantastic staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. All right. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Sounds like you guys are there. Would you trade three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson? That poll question is available at thewholeshow.com. We'll talk more about that. The Colorado Buffaloes. Uh-oh. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, how about a new poll question? Because 80% of the hooligans say, yeah, they do it. You're ready. Okay, well, I'm changing the game a little bit then. All right, so Houston gets back to you and says, all right, perfect. Everybody and their mother's offering me that deal. So throw in either Cortland Sutton or Bradley Chubb. Then one of those guys, and that'll get the deal done. So first off, are you willing to part ways with one of those guys, Colfax?
Yeah, I think so.
So you're willing to part ways with one. Which one are you choosing? That's our new poll question, by the way.
You have to go wide receiver there. Trade.
Because you're deep there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's lots of...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. There is just lots of potential there. Like you said, you're deep, and they've shown talent there.
Yeah. So. I mean, Tim Patrick's going to be up, and you got to figure that out. But if you do add Cortland Sutton to that deal, you know, Houston gets a stud wide receiver again. But you're deep there. You drafted two of them last year in the first and second round, plus Tim Patrick's emerging. So It makes the most sense.
Makes sense.
Bradley Chubb, if you get rid of him, and Vaughn's up, and we don't know what kind of player he's going to be even if he stays. You don't have a pass rusher anymore. Bradley Chubb might not be living up to number five pick status, but he's still a really good pass rusher. He disrupts a lot of things back there.
Getting rid of all those picks means that you can't rebuild that defense.
True.
As you would need to.
That's a great point. So you've got to figure out what you can live with. All right, well, we stocked up on wide receivers, so we're good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. That's where you are at this stage. So, boy, that's tough, but I agree, because the three first round picks are harder for me to part ways with, honestly, because I love Courtland Sutton. You know, I said it at the beginning of last season. I said, this guy, look out. He's a monster. But that's one of your deepest positions. That is your deepest position, is now wide receiver. So go vote. That's our new poll question. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day at thewholeshow.com. All right, 12:30 the time. I want to talk about Colorado. That was it was a shock, but I could hear it in Mark Johnson's voice yesterday that Washington, they're too good to have this bad of a record, and his concern was that Washington would get the chemistry going, and once they did, they might be an interesting team. They almost beat UCLA. So it's not that big of a shock, I guess, and maybe Washington's getting better. Marcus DeHonis had a career high 27 points for Washington. They broke their 8-game losing streak, longest one since 2016 and 17. We'll talk about that. The Colorado State Rams going back at it tonight against Utah State. Can they get some revenge? We'll talk about it. All right, Kelly Lyle will join us. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Can easily understand.
Six minutes after the hour. All right, for the texters, we added Jerry Jeudy. If you had to pick between Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Bradley Chubb, if that was going to be the deal clencher, so to speak, for Deshaun Watson, which player would you choose? And I think we all agree we're going to choose one of them. Three first-round picks and Colfax's house and Bradley Chubb and all these other things. So go answer that at thewholeshow.com. We asked this question on Tuesday. Who you have, Colorado State or Utah State? Didn't ask it today because I think, boy, Utah State, they're a great basketball team, and I think it's going to be very difficult for Colorado State to grab a W tonight. Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, my friend, it was a huge moment. I was excited for it. And in the end, Utah State showed us the other night just how good they really are.
Yeah, you know, they're a more complete team than I certainly gave them credit for, I think. And you know, Namath Keita has just gotten so much better offensively. He's always been a shot blocker, a rebounder, a defensive presence. But what he's now able to do offensively, his ability not only to score, but really to pass out of double teams and get his teammates involved more, has come a tremendous way. They are a much, much better team than I gave them credit for going into that game. And Keita is a huge matchup problem for the Rams. They just don't have, you know, the only guys they have with that size just don't have the level of experience to match up with him.
Yeah, and Keita, watching him, I mean, how good do you think this guy can be? Obviously great in the Mountain West Conference, but do you see that guy playing at the next level?
I'd be stunned if we don't see him playing at the next level at this point. That combination of, you know, what he does defensively alone, I think, and rebounding probably would have given him a shot at the NBA regardless, even if he couldn't score. Now you add in what he's able to do offensively, and I think he's a first-round draft choice of somebody.
Wow. Yeah, no, he's fun to watch. And well, we've heard from teams that are playing in these kind of back-to-back situations in their conference. It seemed a lot of guys that I've talked to, players and coaches, they say it's fun for fans, but it provides a unique challenge. If you win the first game, that second game becomes pretty difficult. It almost has like an NBA playoff feel to it. So I guess if you're looking at it from that angle, it bodes well for Colorado State.
Yeah, I kind of going into the year, I had talked about this. I think when teams that are otherwise kind of in the same range of where they should finish in the Mountain West play each other, I think we're going to see a lot of splits this year, because I think that team that loses is going to make, you know, have more impetus to make the adjustments necessary to go out and win the second game. And I think unless teams can come out and play an entirely different style in game two, it's going to be really tough for teams to sweep unless they're just significantly better than that opponent. And so I think this does bode well for Colorado State. I'm not sure. I'm kind of curious how they're going to go out. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Rams go small tonight and just try to take, you know, the reverse of, okay, we couldn't stop Gata, but you know what? They're going to have a tough time guarding us if we're playing, you know, David Roddy as our post and four wings. He's going to make those guys have to really work hard to guard, and maybe we gain enough of an advantage to offset the fact that we don't match up well with Cada. So I'm kind of curious, and my gut tells me that the Rams are at least going to try a little more of that. We saw it work against San Diego State, certainly, in the big comeback win, and we've seen them do it effectively at other times this season. So I wouldn't be surprised to see if that's what they do, and then they figure out some more defensive schemes to kind of get better help on Cato when need be.
Yeah, Cato's kind of one of those players, right, where you know he's going to get his at some point. He's gonna own the boards. He's going to get you, you know, quite a bit of points. You almost have to say, hey, we're just going to pick our spots, pick our times to battle him out, because ultimately he's going to put up big numbers.
Yeah, I don't think he's a player you can stop. I mean, yes, you want to limit the damage he does. Certainly he did way too much damage the other night. And then you couple that with, then you've got Brock Miller hitting threes. I mean, that's the other thing. That Utah State team is dangerous from three-point range as well. So you do have to be careful if you overplay Cada. And that's why his passing ability, I think, has made them so much better as an offensive team, because he will quickly pass out of those double teams. We saw, you know, Nico Carvacho really develop that over his time at Colorado State, get better at it. I think Cada's got it at a level that's better than Carvacho ever reached as far as being able to pass out. And he's just got such long arms. He just holds that ball out there with one hand and whips it to somebody, even when there's two guys guarding him. And it's really tough to defend.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing, Kelly. That was something that I noticed, too, how he can hold that ball up just with the palm, you know, and really just swipe it past a defender and get it there pretty quickly. Boise State or Utah State right now, if they were getting set to play? I know they don't play till later in February, but who do you think's the better team?
Well, you know, that's a really, really tough call. Like, I've seen them both a little bit, and honestly, both are a little bit better offensively than I thought they'd be this year, and probably just a little bit better overall than I thought they were going to be. I think it's a pretty good matchup. You know, you've got both have some size, both have a true big man inside, and both have some great perimeter players, some three-point shooting ability. I think it's one of those that whoever's hitting those threes wins that game that night, because I think the other factors somewhat neutralize each other. I expect those two to split with each other. As, like I said, among some of these top teams, I think the Rams, if they can get a split, win this second game with Utah State and get a split next week against Boise State, will be doing just fine. Because I think with these back-to-back games like this, that's about as good as you can expect in most situations. Unless, like I said, you're playing a team that you're just significantly better than.
Yeah, I mean, and you see this, too. I mean, you look at other games where, you know, a team blows a team out on one night, comes back, and it's at least competitive, too. So certainly hoping the Rams can stay in it late, and then who knows? They can pull off some of that comeback-type magic, ultimately. We talked to Jesse Kurtz last week, Kelly, from the Mountain West Network, and we're talking about the conference. And he was pretty optimistic about the conference, saying, hey, three, maybe four, you know, could get into the big dance when it's all said and done. Maybe a couple of at-large bids there.
You know, it's looking that way. And if you look at some of the projections, you've seen three and four teams in by the various bracketologists out there, Joe Lenardi, Jerry Palm, people like that, the people that are in the know. I think the hard part is going to be that these teams are going to beat up on each other from here on out. And unlike other conferences, I don't think the Mountain West gets the level of respect when that happens. You know, teams in the teams in the SEC, teams in the Big 12, they beat up ACC. They beat up on each other, and everybody goes, look how strong the conference is. Teams do that in the Mountain West, and the assumption is, oh, none of them are very good then. And I think that's going to hurt the Mountain West down the stretch. But I do think 3 is a very realistic possibility. I think 4 is probably a reach at this point. There just wasn't enough, partly because there wasn't enough non-conference season to factor into those equations. So reputation, unfortunately, plays a bigger role than reality when it comes to some of those at-large spots. Again, we'll see how it shakes out. It would be great. Even 3 would be an improvement from what we've been seeing in recent years, because the conference went down to where it was an AQ only a couple times. And, man, that's not where you want to be as a conference at any level. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, tonight's a big one. We'll see how the Rams fare. But based on what you saw in that first game, and again, I like your idea. I like we'll see how much Nico Medved adjusts tonight. How far away do you think the Rams are from Utah State, from Boise State? Do you think that game wasn't really, again, you end up losing by 20 or so, but how far away do you think they are from these top two teams?
You know, I don't think they are that far away. I think the thing that hurts them right now is those two teams both have a better post presence. That's the one thing that the Rams are lacking. You know, David Roddy plays big, don't get me wrong, but he's 6'5". He's not going to, he just can't control seven-footers on a regular basis. And I think that's going to be a bit of an issue for them. And I think both Boise State and Utah State have better true post players. But I think as James Moores continues to develop his game, I can certainly see that making a big difference for the Rams as they move into even later this season and into next season. And I think DeSean Thomas is, he's still got his ups and downs, but I think he'll get better and better. So I think that that's kind of the big difference right now. And the Rams really need to find a way to get David Roddy and take advantages of the mismatches he can create. And I don't think that happened enough the other night. I think he was... Utah State did a good job of neutralizing David Roddy on the offensive end, and the Rams have got to figure out a way to get David Roddy back going again.
Kelly, kind of a late one tonight.
9 o'clock tip for those of us in the Mountain Time Zone. Definitely interesting. We'll see how that all shakes out. So it'll be a late one.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Hey, it's basketball. It's a great Mountain West Conference showdown, and hopefully the Rams can battle back. Kelly, always appreciate you, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week at Boise State. We'll move right along. Utah State this week, moving on to Boise State next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I like that. You're going to have to be okay with Namus Keita getting his. He's a guy that's going to get 17, 20 points in his sleep. He's going to own the rebound. So you got to find a way to neutralize everybody else. In that game, it was Brock Miller also had 20 points. So you got to be able to neutralize some of those other players. You can't let two guys destroy you. And I like what Kelly said about David Roddy. Got to get him going, expose those mismatches, and really get him in that groove early on. 47 minutes after the hour. All right, Power to Play Sports poll question is out. A new one. Three first-rounders, we're all in agreement that that's what it's going to take to get Deshaun, but Houston calls back and says, all right, Deshaun says he likes you guys, we might be able to do it, but you got to throw in either Bradley Chubb, Cortland Sutton, or Jerry Jeudy. Those are really going to be the guys that have value, for the most part. They're young, they're talented. A lot of the other guys on the roster are maybe just a little bit older, they're on their second or third contracts, and it's just not there. So it's going to be one of those guys. And then I suppose you can throw Drew Locke into the mix, too. But who are you picking? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. When we come back, we'll get to, are we done with Drew Locke then? Is that it? Because we're all, like, gung-ho. We're ready to trade the entire state of Colorado to bring Deshaun Watson here. Does that mean you're done with Drew? So if you don't get Deshaun, you're looking elsewhere? Or do you think that they actually try one more year? We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thanks to Auto Taylor for keeping my vehicle on the road, keeping many of Northern Colorado residents on the road. Auto Taylor in Greeley, they know that everything revolves around technology, so having skilled technicians paired up with cutting-edge vehicle diagnostics is just as important. Their vehicle diagnostics are advanced and, more importantly, accurate. That's Auto Taylor in Greeley. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. We added Jerry Judy. Some of you were saying, I'm throwing Chubb and Jerry Judy in if they ask. Moving on from Bradley Chubb is a difficult task, man. Because it's not like he's an untouchable player, but he's one of your best players on defense. And it's an average to, a little above average defense. But look at this. 66% of the Hooligans are saying Bradley Chubb. They'd go with Bradley Chubb. Even though you're deep at that wide receiver position. Malik Reed now and Von Miller coming off an injury, having an investigation surrounding him right now. And he's 33 years old and... you don't even know what you're going to be able to get him for if you do that. I don't think so. Changed a little bit. Jerry Judy's in second place. So Cortland Sutton seems kind of like the guy you don't want to get rid of. I would have a hard time getting rid of Cortland Sutton. If it's between Sutton and Judy, Judy's gone. You know, I got the pick. I wasn't thrilled with it last year, but I understood it. But, as a rookie, if I draft someone in the top 15 or so, I'm expecting them to produce in a pretty big way, even in their rookie season. I'm not expecting them to be the best wide receiver in the game, but I'm expecting them to be pretty good. And there were a lot of games where we didn't hear from Jerry Judy. In fact, we didn't hear from him, and then we heard from him on Twitter and such. So, no, I'm okay with moving on from Jerry Judy. I have a really tough time with Bradley Chubb. And it's not that I think he's at elite status. I don't think he's one of the best pass rushers in the league by any means, but he's harder to replace because you're stacked there. Are we done with Drew Lock then? I mean, it kind of feels like this, doesn't it? I think that when you look at Drew, there's nothing that sticks out where you think, all right, this guy's going to be the next big deal for Denver. Next year, you're just going to be experimenting. I don't think Denver's going to be in the mix for Deshaun, by the way. I just don't think he's going to choose Denver. I mean, maybe from a competitive standpoint, he might choose Denver because they're good. The Broncos are better than the Jets. But, I mean, the Jets, the Dolphins are in that. And the Dolphins are, they're a good team. They'll be a playoff team. They'll be a contender if Deshaun Watson is playing there. I mean, you're talking about them taking the next step. Although our guy last week, Zach Stevens, on Monday, said, if Denver gets Deshaun Watson, you're not talking about them finally making it back to the playoffs. You're talking about them maybe out-dueling the Chiefs. And maybe so. I mean, Deshaun's up there, man. Look at his numbers. They're all good. They're all, top in yards. I know he had to throw a lot because they were down a lot, but... he's one of those elite quarterbacks. He's in that class. I don't think it's going to happen, though. So, no Deshaun Watson. Are you prepared for life after that? Knowing that, I mean, Drew Lock's going to know that you went out. You went out searching for someone new. Or do you go one more year? Because you're going to have some quarterbacks available in the draft. You're going to have some other teams looking to move on from guys like Matt Stafford. You're going to have that. So do you look for a placeholder for another few years? Or are you done with the older free agent guys? It's Deshaun Watson or Drew Lock. That's if you can get Deshaun for a comfortable price. Actually, no, an uncomfortable price, right? then you go for it. But if not, Drew Lock's the guy going forward. Second hour coming up. Chris Dempsey will join us from Altitude TV. Is Michael Porter Jr. going to play on Friday? He better. We got to start answering some questions about MPJs, just like we needed with Drew Lock. We need to start assessing Michael Porter Jr. and his future with the Nuggets. Second hour coming up next. We'll be right back.